Even this very day, we're dependent upon Srila Guru Maharaj to understand. It's beyond our comprehension. We cannot fathom this or understand in any way how it could be seen as being positive or helpful in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Yet, as usual, Srila Guru Maharaj comes as our savior to help us understand even this most intolerable thing. In the Ramananda Sambhava, which is very dear to Srila Guru Maharaj, by his own acknowledgement, he said it forms the basis for his ontological method. I asked Gurudev once, because I knew that Guru Maharaj is what they would call legally blind, means he can see something but not very clearly, objectively speaking. And he had glasses, as you see in the pictures. But sometimes he would take the glasses off and then put them on and go back and say, no difference, with like they were for show. And then I thought, when I asked Gurudev, innocently, childlike, I said, does Guru Maharaj ever read anything? Because he had a little transistor radio he would put on his chest and hear the news. And otherwise, do you know what a transistor radio is? All right, right. You can see it on Wikipedia, Google it. And someone would read him the newspaper, but then I wondered, all of this wealth, Siddhanta, Su-Siddhanta, endlessly streaming from Srila Guru Maharaj, as Srila Gurudev said, like a fountain of, you know, of nectarine current streaming from the unknown quarter. And I said, does he ever read anything? Normally, you would think you would read something, then some you might be able to say something, right? In the normal way we think of things. But I was like, all of this is coming. I've never seen him read anything. Does he ever read anything? And which reminds me of one, the premier literary critic on the American side of the equation, who said of his forerunner, Dr. Ben Jonson, the great interpreter of English literature, he said of him, he's reached a stage where reading is no longer necessary. And he meant that in the most complimentary way, like whatever you could get from that, it's now within him, no longer necessary. It's from a particular angle of vision. So I was thinking of Guru Maharaj in that way. Still, I wanted to know, does he ever read anything? And Gurudev immediately said, no. Just immediately, no. But then he thought a little bit more and he said, oh, like one thing. And I go, oh, what is that? And he said, Ramananda Sambhad. That means the talk between Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu. It's all about gradation. If anything we can observe about Srila Guru Maharaj and his representation Krishna conception. Thematically, we see reappearing consistently gradation. Ramananda Roy is all about gradation. That's where iho bahya agi kahuhar means. That's external, go deeper. Or then iho hoy, I accept that, but go deeper, go deeper. What do we extract from Guru Maharaj and we're presenting in our little presentation? Dive deep into reality. Does that mean there's reality? And then there's depths of reality. How deep one can dive into that reality. It's consistent with what is expressed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur as well. It says, like a bird flying in infinite sky, according to the capacity of that bird, flyer, or someone diving deep into the ocean. We've seen the snorkelers in Hawaii, but in elsewhere, where they, do you know what I'm talking about? They have a mount, and they go, and then they come up with pearls. Something like that. Rupa Goswami, the depths of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's saying, what are those deep aquatics? They can go deep into that, and what do they discover there and bring back to share with others? So that's, and Upadeshamritam, gradation, Brihad Bhagavatamritam, gradation, even the Bhagavatam itself, culminating in the 10th canto, the Madhura rasa pastimes of Krishna, Radharani, and Brajagopis. So that Ramananda Samvad, at one, when Guru Maharaj's name was Ramendra Chandra Bhattacharya, his birth name. When he was initiated by Saraswati Thakur, changed his name to Ramendra Sundar. Kept the Ramendra, put in Sundar. And we know Sundar very much associated with Guru Maharaj. Govinda Sundar, his deity. Govinda Sundar. Gandharva Govinda Sundar. His Acharya. Sundar Govinda. Bhakti Sundar Govinda. And Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Beauty. Reality the beautiful. Satchid Ananda Mananda Sundar. Sundarananda. So, in that, oh, and then so Ramendra Sundar. But then, so there's the Rama, Ramayendra, Ramendra, Sundar. But then Godavari is where this talk took place. There's the Godavari River, that location, in present-day India. And Guru Maharaj went there, establishing Gaudiya Math branch and Bhakti Hridoy Ban Maharaj accompanying him. And he said, there on the banks of the Godavari, where the original Ramananda Samvad was delivered, that Guru Maharaj gave a talk that in the estimation of Ban Maharaj, who's very much appreciated by Saraswati Thakur and his representation of his Siddhanta, one of his specialties was he could, because preaching to English-speaking people, he could preach in English without quoting Sanskrit. Saraswati Thakur liked that. Like, he can represent everything, but not invoke a lot of Sanskrit. Just tell it to them in English. And you think about it, that's quite extraordinary. And Ban Maharaj, selected by Saraswati Thakur to preach in the West, so he recommended Guru Maharaj for sannyas. But on the banks of that Godavari River, Guru Maharaj gave this talk. And Ban Maharaj said, in his estimation, it was the greatest lecture given of all time. Not just a good lecture or a really good lecture, the greatest lecture ever given. So that's coming from a God brother and who knows Saraswati Thakur. That's how overwhelming his presentation was. We can understand that. But in that Ramananda Sambhad, where everything is, and the question is posed by Mahaprabhu to Ramananda. He's saying, what is the most unbearable suffering? And we're not talking about suffering in the objective world, but in the subjective realm. And that means really, not in an abstract sense, but heart, the domain of heart. That's, after all, that is what we are interested in. Feeling. That sort of pain. And it's an odd question, in a sense, coming from Anandam personified. Ananda Leelamaya Vigrahaya Hemaba Divyachavisundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasapradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Akila Rasamrita Murti. But Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, Krishna enveloped in the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani, her heart. And when does her heart yield the supreme substance of Mahabhav? So he said, what of all suffering, what is the most intolerable suffering? And then we might think, oh, separation from Krishna. Right? That would seem to be the most likely answer to the question. Because that's at the root cause of all suffering. Forgetfulness of Krishna. Bhayam ditya binibeshita syad ishad apetasya vipareyo smriti. But that is not how Ramananda answers that question. And with regard to how Ramananda answers any question, he says that he's being played like an instrument by Mahaprabhu. In the very first slog, one of the Rama Bhakta Meghe, I forget, but Rama Vida Bhakta Meghe Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani, like of the ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta, Subhakti Lasitam, has risen this cloud, Bhakta Megh, a devotional cloud, Ramananda, and raining back on the ocean. So Mahaprabhu is asking these questions, but Ramananda is saying, really, it's all coming from you, but sometimes we say the musician and the instrument, they become one. I have a friend, Madhura Dutti, who's very expert and with the guitar, and he told me at one point, it took him 35 or 40 years till whatever he felt could be expressed through the instrument. But that Ramananda is not an arbitrary instrument. He has that capacity to reflect the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita. Still Mahaprabhu inquiring, what is the most unbearable suffering in this world? And the answer from Ramananda says, Krishna Bhakta Viraha Bina Duk Nahi Dekipa. I know of no greater suffering than separation from the Krishna Bhakta, the devotee of Krishna. That's a very profound statement. Because rarely would we consider that from Krishna's perspective. What would be the most unbearable separation from him but the suffering separation from his beloved? But here, for all others, there is no substantial, meaningful Krishna conception or connection with Krishna without the devotee. As I was walking here, I heard you saying very nicely, the Gaur Vastakam, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, and we think of the line, Sakshad Hari Tenasamasya Shastra Yuktasta Tabab Jateva Sadhi. All the scriptures, consistently, thematically, they're telling us to understand Guru as Krishna directly. That's Sakshad Hari. An opaque barrier. But Prabhupada liked the expression transparent via medium. Right? Guru Maharaj will speak about the telescopic system. Normally you put something before the eye, it creates opacity. But in the case of a lens, it not only eliminates opacity, but brings clarity. What may be distant or unclear, the lens brings into sharp focus. So, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksa Deva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Through the lens of the devotional eye, we see Krishna properly. Even the primal guru mantra, Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Disciple expressing gratitude to Sri Guru for saying, removing the cataractous eye of ignorance, mercifully with surgical precision, laser-like focus, and restoring proper vision. So often Guru Maharaj would say, what is our service? To acquire the proper angle of vision. That's what is at the basis of all of this. Ramananda Sambad and elsewhere. The proper angle of vision, the proper way of seeing is only possible through the agency, the medium of Sri Guru. Right? Otherwise, at best, one can have a remote, distant Krishna conception. Something bordering the abstract, to see Krishna up close and personal means through the eyes of his devotees. Right? And this is the path of seeing through hearing. Shutekshita, tum bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsaroja, ase shutekshita pato nanunata pungthang. So, by hearing from Srila Guru Maharaj, achieve clarity in Krishna conception. That focus, as Guru Maharaj said, from the greatest distance in viewing the Himalaya, you may see Everest. Right? So focused on Everest, Sakshad Hari, that we begin to make our approach. But the proof positive that we're going in the right direction, coming in closer connection with Everest, is to come in connection with the subordinate peaks surrounding Everest. So, kintu praboya priya eva tasya. Kintu means but. Let me mean with greater scrutiny, increased clarity, right? The revelation of gradation. You see, who is Guru? Told for Acharya Mam Vijaniyam Navamanyeta Karjat, understand Guru as Krishna himself, revealing himself. But on a closer examination, going closer in Krishna conception, what? See, Guru is Prabhu Priya. Right? Means who's most dear to Krishna. Then we could say, well, that's also, in one sense, a general statement. Right? We've heard all devotees are dearer to Krishna. But of all devotees who are dear to Krishna, then who would be the most dear? Of the dear, the most dear to Krishna would be his beloved Pranapriya Srimati Radharani. So then the shift takes place. Major shift. To understand Guru, the ultimate expression, Srimati Radharani, and our Gurudev in this world as her proxy surrogate delegation. So, we are Guru-centric to the extreme. When you see the Mott logo of Chaitanya Saraswat Mott, Gurudev is represented there, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. What he heard at the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, and that we heard at the time in the aftermath of the disappearance of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We're unable to articulate what we were feeling in our hearts. We're not equipped, so to speak, how to properly express those sentiments. But hearing from Guru Maharaj, then we could understand. This expresses perfectly how we feel, but are unable to express. And he began that with this example, graphically illustrating the situation and what is it Gurudev expressed in the Mott logo, saying, the Guru is like the water and the Shish is like the lotus. One of the names of lotus, Ambuja, I mean, born from the water, right? And Krishna's like the sun. Right? So we're told, when the lotus is safely, happily situated on the waters, shelter in the waters of Sri Guru, like, then the Krishna sun nourishes the lotus. Right? It's healthy, vibrant, vital, grows, develops. Achieves full expression. But remove the water from the lotus, and that very sun, Krishna, burns the lotus. So the disciple without Guru is nowhere. As Guru Maharaj said elsewhere, but for the mercy of Sri Guru, we are lifeless clay. It is accepting, taking shelter of the Guru is not something one does on their way to somewhere else, on their way to a situation where that's no longer necessary. Beginning, middle, and end. It's the only substantial, healthy situation. For a disciple to be in. So, he then quoted the Bilap Kusumanjali of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Because Vilap means a type of lamentation. As he is expressing how he feels in separation from Sri Guru, particularly after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar. And there, one sloka says, Sunyayate Mahagosham Girindro Jagarayate Tunde Tunde Kundam Jivatu Rahitasune. We find in the Chaitanya and Shikshastakam of Mahaprabhu, in Krishna Viraha, he's saying, Yugaitam Nimishena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Sunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Viraha Govinda Virahena Me. Seeing the world is void, vacant, a moment like a yuga, the intensity of separation takes one to such a stage of heart anguish. But Guru Maharaj points out, in the prayer of Raghunath Das Goswami, which actually is direct prayer to Srimati Radharani, when he is addressing this issue, he's saying that in separation, that which was formerly a source of inspiration appears to be antagonistic. So what was the former source of his inspiration? You say, Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. He's always praying to Govardhan to take shelter there. So Giriraj Govardhan as Krishna, Radha Kunda, his Muke Radha, Radha Boli Beshe Nayanera Jale Radhe Radhe, crawling on his hands and knees with tears streaming down, drenching his garments, taking the name of Srimati Radharani, praying for Radha Dasyam. So these two places, Govardhan, representation of Krishna, Radha Kunda, Srimati Radharani, that was the source of his inspiration, his aspiration and service, Radha Dasyam. Saying, but now, in separation, how does he see them? Saying, I see Govardhan as a giant python coming to devour me. And Radha Kunda, like a tiger's gaping jaws coming to swallow me. So he's taken this to another level of intensity. And that's how these things which were formerly the source of my inspiration, now they're antagonistic to me. That's how dependent I am upon you. Ashavare amrita sindhu mayi katanchit kalo mayati gamita kila sampratami tam chet kripamayi vidasa shinaiva kimme prane brajena chabororu bakarinapi. Saying, Ashavare amrita sindhu mayi, my aspiration to serve your holy lotus feet, that is what gives meaning to my life. Gives me some reality potential, some prospect, this hope that I can one day serve your holy lotus feet. See, every disciple shall feel that. As Prabhupada said, and parsing Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's gloss on Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. This is Gita slok, but it's talking about the resolute determination that's necessary in pursuing Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said in reading Vishwanath, he had this epiphany that, oh, this is why I exist. Got this order has come down, Saraswati Thakur, my Gurudev, who's Radharani's delegation. So it's clear to me, this is what will be pleasing to her and subsequently Krishna. I should focus all my energy on this exclusively. I don't see anything else. I don't know anything else than this. And look, as he emptied, wholly emptied himself of any other desire than the desire of the order of his Gurudev, he became not empty, but full, empowered. Krishna Shakti Binanahe Tara Parvartan. Right? Shaktivesh empowerment. That's the degree of his sincerity and earnestness to execute that order. Miraculous. This is all consistent. So Das Goswami is saying, you make Krishna beautiful and Krishna conception beautiful. Sometimes Prabhupada would say some things that were very simple but profound. Like he's saying, without Radharani, Krishna's not so beautiful. It's a very sweet thing. We say, what? Krishna is inconceivably beautiful. Right? You say, no, but with Radharani, he's really at his best. That's when he looks most beautiful. Without her, it can only come from the heart of a pure devotee. They're not interested in seeing Krishna alone for their amusement, their enjoyment, as if he's objectively beautiful, a beautiful object. Like in this world, someone, they want to possess a beautiful thing, a beautiful person, place, or thing. Spend $500 million on a painting. But I would suggest, even in that instance, if you're spending $500 million on a painting, it's possessing you. You are possessed by beauty uncontrollably, in a sense. And that's really at the heart of the matter. To offer oneself to the beautiful. Reality to beautiful, the personification of beauty, charm, and sweetness. So Das Goswami is saying, though, without Radharani, my life has no purpose. And he means, what does that mean? Radharani means service, the service of her holy lotus feet. Then my life is of no value. Prana. Right? And then he ratchets it up, speaking of gradation. And what is more valuable than my life? And this requires a devotional perspective because people say, well, wait, there's nothing more valuable. What do you have that's more valuable than you? Right? That's humanism. In the devotional way of seeing, there is something more valuable than you. Right? Prane braje, brajena, braja. See? The soil of Vrindavan is more valuable than the highest aspect of ourselves. So we, from the devotional perspective, we'll have to say, Vrindavan. Right? But Das Goswami is saying, what is Vrindavan to me without you? What would I do there? Radha Padman Kitadam Vrindavan Jaranam. That we always say, like, Vrindavan is the land of Krishna. Right? And certainly, It is, of course. But the devotees, they have no conception of Krishna independent of his devotees. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his songs in praise of Srimati Radharani, Vrindavan, Radha Padman Kidadam Vrindavan Jaranam, saying, what is Vrindavan more precisely is that plane as Vaikuntya Prithivyadi Sakala Chinmoy, the spiritual world is not only conscious substance enriched with devotional tendency, but in its highest expression, Brajasharanam, the type of self-sacrifice and surrender is only fully expressed there. He's saying, Radha Padman Kiritam, that Chinmoy soil that is embellished with the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. That means Radha Dasyam. And back to the Mat logo, so that water, lotus, Krishna, sun, but then what? The flute of Krishna, and with the inscription, Gayatri Muralista Kirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dhimahi. Srila Guru Maharaj, if you think about this, the Brahma Gayatri has been there since before the beginning of the creation. And there are different ways, according to the capacity, varying capacity of how to interpret that. Guru Maharaj extracts Radha Dasyam from the Brahma Gayatri. Right? That is uniquely him. He will say, Jiva Goswami hinted in one place, find it if you will. It's something unique, indicating the extraordinary capacity of Srila Guru Maharaj. But he's saying, if Gayatri Basya Rupo Sho Bedarta Paribringhita Arto Yam Brahmasutranam Bharata Arta Binirnaya. These aren't, you know, it's not a random compilation of there's different scriptures and they're telling different things. No. They must be thematic. If they're real, if they're dealing with reality, then there must be a connecting thread, some consistency. Right? So Garuda Purana is saying, what is it? Vedarta, the meaning of Veda, Vedanta, the tree of Veda, the Kalpataru of Veda, produces what fruit? Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Palam Shukamukaram Ritardabasamyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuk. That the fruit of the tree of Veda, the flower, the floral essence, Vedanta. Like we've seen, the mango tree, then flower comes, then bud, fruit. The floral essence, Vedanta, right? But gives way to the fruit, which is what? Krishna conception, right? But what is the nectarine substance that is nourishing Krishna conception, right? At the heart of the matter of Krishna conception. Yadamiyam mahima sri bhagavatam katayam pratipadam anubhutam apyalabdhavideya tadakila rasamurti shamalila avalambam madura rasadi sri radha parapadmam prapadye. Guru is saying, although, you know, this book, the Krishna book, Prabhupada called it, I like that, especially the 10th canto, was what is the basis of Krishna conception? Shama Leela means Madhura Rasa. It culminates in presenting Madhura Rasa. Right? Which means the pastimes of Krishna with Radharani and Brajagopis. Right? Sanyagya, the erotic principle and unalloyed devotion. Eros, if the issue of Eros is not addressed, then what have you in terms of theism? Right? Madan Mohan Krishna. Only reality of the beautiful is so compelling, so seductively charming and sweet and irresistibly beautiful to break the stranglehold that Madan, Cupid, has upon everyone in this world. It's the driving principle of material existence. If this book and its subject matter is to liberate one, to break free from that, then inevitably, it must necessarily address this issue, Eros. Right? And Krishna is that Lord. Only in Krishna conception is this sort of seductive charm and sweetness fully expressed. Right? Not elsewhere. And so when the devotees say in some way, without Krishna, without Radharani, Krishna is not so sweet, you say. It's an allusion to this capacity, right? To Hare Krishna, right? Break the stranglehold that lust has upon the heart. That it's not enough to just achieve a neutral position. It has to have some representation in the original, in the positive world. Not just to get free from the negative by entering some neutral condition, but to enter the positive realm, right, of Krishna conception. That means where this reality potential is there. Right? So Das Goswami is saying, what makes the Krishna world most beautiful is that chinmoy conscious soil of self-dedication to the extreme, embellished by the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani, who is doing what? She's bringing all others in connection with Krishna. And how sweet and merciful she is. I remember within first few days of being in the temple in San Francisco, that we heard Gopeshwar Prabhu was there, that devotees would tell you all these little things that Prabhupada allegedly said. And we say that because even Prabhupada, one of the most famous Prabhupada says is, I never said that. But sometimes, yeah, but we lived on that, you know. But one I liked hearing was that Prabhupada said when someone newly joins or comes, that Radharani runs to Krishna and says, oh, Krishna, you must accept them. They're better than me. We know that's impossible. But to that kind of heart is there. She's seeing the potential of these servitors. And I thought also, yeah, really, we're, you know, the infinitesimal, finite, you know, tatasta jiva, what? And Krishna's there in the spiritual world with his super servitors. Do we really have anything to add, you know, to that would be an increase, you know. But there must be everyone, in as much as they're eternally unique. I like to revise the, you know, what is it? All men are created equal? All beings are eternally unique is a more comprehensive conception. So there, if that, in fact, is true, and we take it that it is, mamevangsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, if Krishna is unique, then the eternal parts and parcels of Krishna must also be unique. even a finite degree, but unique nonetheless, then that means their reality potential is to actually offer something that's unique from them. The spiritual experts may categorize this type of devotion, that, under the leadership and guardianship, shelter of this type of servitor. They can do that, but it means there's some possibility of offering something to Krishna that you alone can give. Right? Under the guidance of our Guru Varga and the Rupa Nuga line, and we're depriving Krishna of that at present. And he, as we hear, loving servant for the lost servant, loving search for the lost servant, eagerly awaiting that heart-to-heart reciprocation. So, Vrindavan, and what he's saying, prane, Brajena, Chaboru Bukharinapi, and without you, and the way Guru Maharaj put it so intensely to underscore this point, without you, Krishna's a dreadful thing. Krishna's so beautiful, so sweet, so charming. Without you, Bakari. Baka is a reference to Bakasura, Bakari, Putana. Another, their family, they were asuras or demons, saying, so who, then what is Krishna like? Bakari, not the demon killer, not the sweet, beautiful, charming, seductive, sweet Krishna that we see at your side, right? At the right hand of Srimati Radharani is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, reality of the beautiful. And coming in connection with Srila Guru Maharaj, this conception became impressed deeply upon our hearts. So at this time, in separation from him, we can only recall his words when he said that By the pull of love and affection upon the heart in separation will draw one to that plane. Right? In that way, we can interpret it as something positive. And we're reminded of Krishna sometimes being accused of being cruel by seemingly, willfully separating himself from the Braja Gopis, who have no other reason to live but in anticipation of his connection. They cannot tolerate the blinking of an eye's separation from him. And yet he separates himself from them, hides from them in a sense, and plunges them into the depths of separation. And we think, why? It's bewildering. Why would he do this? Causing them seemingly so much anguish and suffering. And then we find that in separation, bahe bishajalahoy bitare anandamoy Krishna premer adbhuta charit, the wonderful, astonishing characteristics of Krishna prema, or love of Krishna, is that the greatest depth of heart is achieved in separation. Just like it's an English saying, but I'm sure it's a maxim in other languages that, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When we're separated from the beloved, it's more intense. Our vision becomes more spacious, in Guru Maharaj's words. How so? I thought of photography, you have, and you may know something about this, the the creative group here. You know, you have depth of focus. So when you're focusing on an individual, say in a portrait, everything else is blurred around them. Now they're touting this as the virtue of different sorts of camera, like that professional look where you see that person and everything around them is a little out of focus. It is too, increase your clarity of seeing them and nothing else. Union is said to be like that. You can imagine, in the presence of Krishna, what else are you going to look at? So riveting. Yang shama sundarama chintaguna sarupam. Inconceivably beautiful. But having experienced that, then if Krishna is removed or apparently not present, then like in photography, there's a plane called infinite depth of field, which means everything is in focus. And what that means in separation is that everything becomes a source of remembrance for Krishna. Right? The environment, the paraphernalia, his divine paraphernalia, all becomes a source of remembrance. So Guru Maharaj will say, so in separation, our vision becomes more expansive. Right? So we find the Brajagopis, they're approaching the trees, the flowers, the river, the animation, that which is inanimate, and the madness of their search for the Lord of their heart. So in a similar way, we think, in the absence of our connection with the lotus feet of Sri Guru, that rather than being lost in forgetfulness, that everything before us can become a source of remembrance if we see that it's service potential. Right? As demonstrated by Srila Prabhupada, in one sense, and separation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but always remembering his order to spread Krishna consciousness to the Western world, particularly the English-speaking countries. And this is what Guru Maharaj ultimately terms union and separation. That this sort of divine remembrance and separation creates a type of union. Right? So Krishna reveals to the Brajagopis that although apparently I was separated from you, your remembrance with increased intensity means that I am always with you. And inasmuch as separation achieves a greater depth of heart, it yields a superior type of love, prem. So at this time, we are left remembering the holy lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, all these divine associates, as expressed in this song of Narottam Das Thakur. He is reflecting upon the loss of all these great souls. But we see in that remembrance of them, and their instructions, their orders, we feel their presence. And then one of the last times I met with Srila Guru Maharaj, and he said, because it went without saying, we want to be with him, but would have to return to the Western world, the place of our preaching or attempt to fulfill his order in the line of Sri Guru. And he said that he said Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami wanted to stay with Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu said, my desire is that you go to Vrindavan. Oh, one of the Kumaras has come to join this celebration. Hare Krishna. And so that was sort of devastating to Rupa Goswami, being told by Mahaprabhu, you can't go with me, basically. He's saying, but if you follow my order, and the pursuance of my order following that, you and I will always be together. And we could think, oh, that's just something you say. But in the spiritual consideration, it's very meaningful and very substantial. Right? So, and Guru Maharaj told me this. He said, he is the example of lice, which are otherwise known as bed bugs. If you have them in your skin, he said, you can't be more closely associated in terms of physical proximity. They're under your skin. He's saying, but your consciousness means that you're worlds apart. So association is not based upon physical proximity. He said, but in terms of physical proximity, we may be separated by space or time, but in terms of consciousness, we may be very intimately related. So really, our aspiration is realized substantially in a plane of consciousness, otherwise known as Krishna consciousness. And with that sort of divine remembrance, it's not nostalgia for the past, but rather a living experience. So Guru Maharaj says, a true disciple is always living in the relativity of his guru. And that's his way of expressing, means the same zone, consciousness zone, and therefore they're connected. And we've heard this, whether from Guru Maharaj, from Prabhupada, from Gurudev, how they're always feeling the presence of their Guru Maharaj. So we're assembled here in remembrance of his divine grace. And it's by his grace that we've been all brought together, his divine servitors, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadeva Goswami Maharaj, promoting the service and the Siddhanta of Srila Guru Maharaj around the world. And we're trying to assist him under his order. He brought Srila Avadhut Maharaj and myself together, who's going on as we speak right now in his never-ending festival. I just spoke to him recently. He was in Moscow with Mahayogi Maharaj, Mahavir Maharaj, Dandi Maharaj, and the usual suspects, servitors. And they're once again assembled in a park with so many exhibitions, so many people coming. And Guru Maharaj would be very pleased to observe that, as would Srila Gurudev. Sometimes when we're with Guru Maharaj, he would say, our guardians are above looking down upon this transaction and very happy about that. So there, we express our appreciation by going on with our small attempts at service. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, hearing, chanting, or making propaganda, glorification, and that leads to some substantial remembrance and feeling of that divine presence. Hare Krishna. Jai Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Tirubhav Mahamahotsavati Ti Ki Jai. Jaigo Premanande. So this, we should offer some flowers and Pushpanjali and then have kirtan. There's some flowers. All right. Hare Krishna.